Begin the current daf, Maseches Bamitzi, daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of the Kuf, Tes Zayin and Mabez, where the Gemara now continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if there's Habayis V'Aliyah, if there's someone that lives on the ground floor, who's the landlord, and he has a tenant on the second story, and then the second story floor caves in, which was a Machlekes Rabban Shmuel, does have to be the majority of the floor, or even like Shmuel said, even just four Tfachim. But if he promised him, as the way Rav Ashi had explained the case of our Mishnah, where he said that, I'm renting you this second story, which is on top of this ground floor, which that lashon, that terminology, indicates that the ground floor is indebted to the top floor. So if the second story caves in, then they could go ahead and live on the bottom floor. As the halacha of the Mishnah said, he could live there until the landlord fixes the second story floor and they could remain there. Now that the Gemara continues, says, Bayer Rab Abba Bar Mamla. So Rab Abba Bar Mamla asked the following question in qualifying this halacha of the Mishnah. As we get to the top of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Kishu Hudar, when the tenant who really lives on the second story, which the floor caved in, and now he's living now on the ground floor where the landlord lives, Levada Hudar, does he get to live there by himself and actually evicts the landlord who lives on the ground floor? Why? Kidimikara, like he was living up until now. When he was on the second story, he lived there himself. And now when he has the right to live on the ground floor, because the ground floor is indebted to him, he also gets to live there by himself and he actually could kick out the landlord. Or maybe this halacha was telling us that no, that both of them now live in the ground floor. Because the Amalek, as the landlord, could tell him, I didn't rent you the second story, which I was indebting the ground floor, to kick me out of my own ground floor apartment. Yes, that was indebting my apartment to you, that you could also live with me, but not that I have to leave. Continues the Gemara. Imtim Tzalemish Neim Darnbay, and if you say that both of them live there, that he can't kick out the Balabayas, but that he could also live there. Now, then the question is, Kishu Mishtamish, so when he's utilizing the ground floor, now that the second story floor has caved in, Derech Pesachim Mishtamish, could he use the doors, the main entryways, into the ground floor, or Derech Gagin Mishtamish, or does he have to come to the ground floor through the roof? In other words, does he have to use the staircase that's on the outside of the house, which those ladders, those steps were used to get into the entryway to the second story, and he has to come in through the second story, which the floor had caved in, and from there come in through the steps down to the ground floor. And that's the question. Does he have to? Could he come through the ground floor straight, or does he have to go through the second story? As the Gemara explains, Mi Amar Kedemikara, do we say that the landlord could tell him, as it was up until now? Meaning, Ma Meikar Derech Gagan, just like up until now. So how would you get to your apartment that you live in this house? Was through the second story, meaning through the roof. And that's how you got to your apartment. So Hashtanami Derech Gagan. Now also, although you could use my apartment, but not through my doorway, you have to come through that store, that staircase that you always use, and then come down to my apartment. Aydilma Matsir Amalei, maybe know that the renter could tell him, the second story person could tell him, Aliyah Kabili Alai. When I rented the apartment from you, I accepted upon myself that I'm going to have to, it's not easy, go on the apartment building to go up to the second story, but I accepted that rental, and I was going to go through my doorway and live there on the second story. But to go through the effort of Aliyah via Rida, like Abilalai, that I never accepted upon myself, that if I'm going to go use an apartment, I'm going to have to go up and then down. And therefore, I don't have to go up and down. I can go through the main entryway, which is your entryway. That's the second question. Continues the Gemara. Im timtza leima matzir amalei, and if you say that the tenant could tell the landlord, Aliyah via Rida, like Abilalai, I didn't accept upon myself when I was renting an apartment to have to go up and then down. And therefore, he can go straight through the front door of the ground floor apartment that is the landlord's entrance. Then it takes us to the next question. What's the halacha with there's two higher apartments? Meaning there's a second story and a third story. As the Gemara is going to explain what the question is. As the Gemara explains, first of all, if let's say this tenant is living on the third story, the second higher apartment. So then says the Gemara, it's obvious to me that Naches Vidar B'Tachtoinim, if his upper story apartment, the third story, caves in, that for sure it's better for him to live on the second story. It's one story lower that he has to schlep up to. So for sure that would be allowed in the owner telling him, okay, your third story apartment caved in, here, I'll give you the second story. But the question is, let's say Ifches Tachtoinim, let's say this tenant was living on the second story, and now the second story floor caved in. Mao, what's the halacha? Could the landlord push him to the upper story? Lamislik Lagami Belyendu, to make him move up to the third story? Or do we say that no, that he could force the landlord to live with him in his ground floor apartment? That's what the Gemara explains. Mi amrin d'amalei, do we say that the landlord could tell him, look, shem aliyah kabilas alach, you accepted to live in the higher story. I rented to you a higher story. Now, therefore, it's either a second story or a third story, but I can make you, if your second story floor fell in, which I'm responsible for, not to come down to my apartment, but rather go up to the third story. Or maybe they know, char aliyah, one story, kabbalah. He accepted to live on the second story, but shtei aliyos lekabbalah, but he didn't accept on two stories higher to live on the third floor. And that's just going to take a little stand. It's not clear regarding all these questions. What's the halacha regarding this responsibility? When the landlord, if the second story caves in, they can live on the ground floor. What would be in these situations when he does move down? Does he live by himself or does he live with the landlord? Could he kick out the landlord? Or how does he come in through the second story and then come down or straight through the first floor? And also when there's second and third stories, do we say that he can make him go from the second to the third? Or no, in that situation, could he come down to the ground floor? The Gemara continues in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yisim, he said that in a situation where we have the ground floor owned by the landlord, and we have a second story owned by the tenant, and the floor caves in. So it's the responsibility of the landlord to fix his roof, which is the floor of the second story. And if not, he could live on the bottom. Now, Rabbi Yossi said that actually, the landlord doesn't have to fix the whole floor of the second story. Hatachta nisnes atikr v'chul. Rather, the landlord who lives on the bottom floor fixes only his roof, which is the basic floor of the second story. But the maziva, which is a layer of plaster that's put down on the floor of the second story, that is actually the tenant's responsibility. Now, that the Gemara is my tikra. What are we calling the ceiling of the first story, which is the responsibility of the landlord who lives on the first floor? Says Rabbi Yisrael Chanino Amar, he says, kinim usnoin, it's reeds and thorns, meaning it's making a roof like a mat, like a made out of reeds. That's the ceiling he has to make, which is the floor of the second story. Now, Ustini, who is actually the name of a sage who is the student of Rish Lakish, Amr Shimon Lakish, he said the name of Rish Lakish, that it's actually Levachim. Like Rashi brings planks, balaz, where it's planks, like these boards of cedar wood. That's the type of roof the bottom floor has to make, which is going to be the floor, the basic floor of the second story. Now, the Gemara tells actually, B'loi Pligi, these two opinions don't disagree. Rather, Mar Ki Asri, each one was saying, according to the custom of where he lived, what is considered a basic ceiling / floor of the second story, that's what he has to do. Anything beyond that, Rabbi Yisrael was saying, is already considered something from the tenant of the second story, which that layer of plaster is for his convenience, and therefore that he has to do. Now, the Gemara brings the following Machlekes Amiram that will reflect back to this Machlekes of Rabbi Yisrael and the Chacham of our Mishnah. The Gemara brings that Hanu Bay traded with these two individuals to have a diary that lived in the same house, Chari loy v'chatetoy, one on the upper story and one on the lower story. Now, ifchis maziva, the maziva, which is this layer of plaster that's on the floor on top of the tikra, that broke, that got diminished. Now, but the tikra, the basic floor, which is the roof of the bottom story, that was still around. But the layer of plaster which seals the floor, that broke up. Now, so therefore, when the guy who lived on the second floor would wash his hands and they would wash on the floor, so the water would go and drip down through the breaks in the boards. I mean, there's boards, but you didn't have the plaster, so it would drip down into the ground floor person's apartment. Now, as Rashi points out, it's not like the case of our Mishnah. I'm not talking about the bottom floor, it's a landlord, and the second story is a tenant. Rather, the upper apartment is owned by the upper guy, and the bottom apartment is owned by the bottom guy. So the question was, mi masakin, whose responsibility is it to fix the maziba, the plaster, to prevent that when the upper story washes his hands, it doesn't go and ruin the guy's stuff on the first floor? So Reb Chiya bar Abba, he says, ha'elyon masakin. He said that the person who lives on the second story, it's his responsibility to fix it. He said, no, hatach the masakin. The bottom guy, he doesn't want the stuff dripping on his stuff. He has to fix the mazi with the layer of plaster on his roof, meaning on the floor of the second story. And the Siman and the Gemara brings in the Malik to remember which opinion said what, that the Pasuk in Bereisha says, V'yosef hurid Mitzrayma, that Yosef was taken down to Mitzrayim, which the Targum on that word of hurad was itachas, which means on the bottom, which what tells us that Yosef was on the bottom, meaning Rebchir bar Yosi, or somebody actually have the Girsa, Rebchir bar Yosef, he's the one that said that it's the person who lives on the bottom, it's his responsibility to take care of the maziva of his roof. So that's the machlekes. Says the Gemara, Lem Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Reb Eloi, who have this dispute, Beplukted Reb Yisi, Verabbanan Kemiflagi, that they're arguing regarding the same Achlaikas that's in our Mishnah, as the Gemara explains. Laman de Amar Ha'el Yimasakan, according to Reb Chiya Bar Abba, that he says it's the guy who lives on the second floor, it's his responsibility to fix the Maziva. Now, the reason why the Gemara is assuming that this is like Reb Yisi is because the assumption was that Reb Yisi is actually saying the same thing. Reb Yisi said that the one who lives on the second story has to fix the maziva, which seemingly is the same as Reb Chiya Bar Abba, who says the guy who lives on the second story has to fix the maziva, the layer of plaster. Why? Because kesavra ala mazik laharchek es atzmem na nizik, that it's the responsibility of the damaging party. He has to remove the damaging elements from the victim, so that when he washes his hands, it shouldn't ruin the guy's stuff on the bottom. Now, the reason why the bottom guy, however, in the Mishnah, according to Reb Yisi, has to fix the tikra, which is the basic floor, which is his roof, is because he rented him a place to live. That's, again, in our Mishnah, talking about a landlord-tenant. So there, the tikra he has to provide for him. But maziva has nothing to do with the floor. The floor of the second story will work even without the layer of plaster. The only thing that you need the maziva for, the plaster, so that it doesn't drip down to the first story, that Reb Yisi is the same as Reb Chiya Bar Abba, that, okay, that's your responsibility, because it's the mazik, it's the one who's creating the damage, who has to make sure that what he does not cause damage to the victim. So he has to fix, the second story has to fix the maziva. Whereas a man do'a matach the mazakan, Contra Belia, who he said that actually the one who lives on the bottom story, he has to fix the layer of plaster of the second story. Kesavar ala nizik laharche kesasme in the minamazik, that he held, no, the victim, you don't want to get damaged, it's your responsibility to distance what's causing damage from the damager. Now, therefore, the maziva, the layer of plaster, is also the responsibility of the guy who lives on the bottom floor to make sure that the water that's being poured doesn't drip on him. That's the shita of the Chacham and our Mishnah, that they say that the landlord who lives on the bottom floor doesn't only have to provide a tikra, he even has to provide for the maziva. Why? Isn't it enough as a landlord to provide just the tikra? It is. But the reason why he has to pay for the maziva is because or else the water is going to drip in. And whose responsibility is that? It's the victim who he, the landlord, lives on the bottom floor. That's what he has to provide for the maziva. So seemingly, this machlekes amaram is this machlekes hanoma of our Mishnah. And that says the Gemara, v'tizbra? Is that logical to say that Rabbi Yisiv Rabbanan, that this machlekes that they have in our Mishnah, le'ini nizakin, that it was regards to the damages of the landlord who lives on the bottom floor, that was paligi, that that's what they were disagreeing regarding? This layer of plaster was only for the purposes of not having the water drip into his apartment, and it's because of regarding what's going to happen to him as a victim, and therefore you want to say it's the same machlikas Reb Chiya Bar Abba and Reb Eloi regarding, okay, so is it the victim's responsibility or is it the damaging party's responsibility? And that says the Gemara, but we actually learned the exact opposite of the opinions of Reb Yisi and Rabbanan. As we're going to quote a Mishnah that Reb Yisi is on record that saying is actually on the nizik, on the victim, to distance the damaging that's happening to him. Which is not, it's exactly the opposite as we're trying to interpret the halacha of our Mishnah. You want to say Reb Yisi says that no, the maziva is the responsibility of the guy who lives on the second story. So we're saying, oh, because he says ala mazik laharcha kesatzmai, not the nizik. Whereas the Chacham say that it's a denizik, that's why they have to pay for the bottom story has to pay for the maziva. But we're going to clearly quote that it's to the opposite. Reb Yisi is the one who holds that it's actually the victim that has to, and based on the way we're interpreting, he should be saying that the maziva should be provided even by the landlord. Because it's not, like we learned the Mishnah Masechet the Baba Basra. Mishnah says, Machikin es ha'ilon min habar. You have to distance when you're planting a tree from a pit. Now the reason why is because the roots of the tree spread out, and they're going to bore holes in the wall of the pit, and it weakens the ground around the wall, and the walls of the well are going to collapse. So you have to distance it a distance of esrim v'chamish amah, of 25 amas. Moreover, says the Mishnah, b'charvu b'shikman, if you're planting a carob tree or a sycamore tree, which they have a lot more and longer roots than other trees, chamisham amah, you have to distance it 50 amas from a well. And this is b'imal mala, whether even if the tree is lowered down on the height from the pit, and the ground of the pit is higher than the roots of the tree. For example, if let's say you plant a tree in a valley and the pit is on a mountain, where the Gemara there explains that the reason is because the roots of the tree are going to weaken the ground, and it's going to make earth come up, and it's going to ruin the ground of the pit. So even if the pit is higher than the tree, or beimin atzad, or whether if they're on equal ground level, the same halacha applies, you have to distance it either 25 or 50 feet respectively. Now, continues the Mishnah, Im habar kadam, if the pit, if the well was made first before the tree, then kaitetz v'nais and dam. Then they could make the guy cut down his tree, and then the owner of the well has to compensate the owner of the tree for the value of his tree. But he can make him cut down his tree because he had planted it after the well was already made. Im ha'ilon kadam, but if let's say the tree was planted first, and only then did this guy make his well, then lo yakatz, he has no right to make the guy who planted his tree cut down his tree when he had made his well subsequently. Now, Safek zeh kadam, let's say they're in doubt, they don't know which one came first, then lo yakatz, then you have no right to cut down that person's tree. Now, Rabbi Yosi, I mean, he says, afa pisha boi kudemes l'ilon, he disagrees with the Tana Kama, with the Chacham. He says, even if that the pit was before the tree, lo yakatz, still you're not allowed to cut down that guy's tree. What's the reason? Because this guy could plant, he could dig in his property, the guy who made the well. This guy could plant in his property. Now, albeit that, what do you mean? How could he plant in his property when he's only like 10 amos away from my pit and I made it first, and now his roots are going to go into my pit and ruin my well? How could he go ahead? How can you say he could do that? Oh, Alma says the Gemara that you see from Rabbi Yosi, that Savar Allah Nizig LaHarchik Es Asmoi, because you're right, it will cause damage. But you, the victim, since I'm not doing something directly that's going to damage your stuff, it's your responsibility to stay away from the damage that will happen from my stuff. So you can't make me cut down my tree. You could move away your well. Rabbanan Savar Allah Mazig LaHarchik Es Asmoi, but we see the Rabbanan held that no, that if your tree came afterwards, you can even make you cut down the tree. Because it's the damaging party's responsibility to remove the damage that's going to happen to the victim. So says the Gemara, how can you say that Rebbe Chiya bar Abba and Rebbe Loi arguing regarding the halacha of Rebbe Yosi and Chamina Mishnah, but you can't interpret Rebbe Yosi and the Chamina Mishnah the way you're saying that, which is totally in whose responsibility is laharchik es atzmo min hanizakin, if the mazik or the nizik, because actually we see the exact opposite logic where it's Rebbe Yosi who says ala nizik laharchik es atzmo. Where if you want to interpret the halacha of our Mishnah accordingly, that would mean that actually the bottom story, that in our case our Mishnah is the landlord, he would have to pay for the maziva, and Rebbe says, no, he doesn't have to pay the maziva. And the Chacham are the ones who say, Ala mazik laharchik es atzmo, which again is the opposite of the way they're saying in our Mishnah, based on that interpretation that the Gemara wanted to say. So Ella rather says the Gemara, I'ika l'meima pligi, if you want to say, and make contingent, this machlekes amirum that we had before in the machlekes tanoim, it wouldn't be in Rebbe Yosi Chacham of our Mishnah, but rather be plucked Rebbe Yosi Rabbanan the Hasam Kemiflegi. They actually would be disagreeing regarding the Machlekes Rebbe Yosi and the Chacham that we have over there in that Mishnah Bava Basra regarding the tree and the well. And that is according to the opinion that says that the upper story, the one who lives on the second floor has to fix the Maziva, would be holding like the Rabbanan, who again, as we just showed, they hold Ala Mazik Laharchik. It's a responsibility of the damaging party to distance. So therefore, since when he pours his water, it ruins the first floor, it's the second story's responsibility. Whereas the other pin held this ala tachten, that it's the one who lives in the bottom, it's his responsibility to fix the layer of plaster on up one, would be like Rebbe Yosi that holds ala nizik laharchik es atzmo. So again, their machlekes would be Rebbe Yosi Rabbanan, but not that of our Mishnah, but rather Rebbe Yosi Rabbanan from the Mishnah Bava Basra, which would be inversely of how we thought we're going to explain them in our Rebbe Yosi Rabbanan in our Mishnah. So the Gemara then says, so Rebbe Yosi Rabbanan the hocha, but my pligi. So then what do they disagree in our Mishnah? If it's not about who is regarding the Zak and Laharchik Es Asmoi, because we can't say that because they actually have opposite opinions of that. If we wanted to say that was our Machlekes in the Mishnah, as we find in Baba Basra. So if it's not about having water fall down, because then actually it should be the opposite of what was quoted, so what is their Machlekes regarding if the landlord has to provide for the Maziva or not? Says the Gemara, B'chazik Tikra Kemiflegi. Their disagreement is regarding supporting the basic floor, which is the ceiling of the first floor, that is, as Rashi explains, not as we had assumed before. It's not talking about with the guy who lives on the ground floor that he's screaming, because he's not concerned about the water dripping in from the upper story. He doesn't care if it's plaster or not. Rather, it's actually the one who lives on the second story that he's complaining. And he's saying that when I step on my floor, on the boards, they shake, and I'm afraid that one of them are going to fall out or flip over, and I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to fall through the floor. It's regarding that they're disagreeing. Rabbanan Savri Maziva Achzuki Tikruhu. The Rabbanan hold that the layer of plaster, not just like we were discussing before regarding, oh, so that prevents water from dripping down. There's another element, which is that's what they're disagreeing about. It makes that, it supports the actual floor. Because once you're plastering it with cement and this layer of plaster, now the boards don't shake anymore from their place. And therefore, Vachzuki Tikru Ala Tachtim Bar Lachzuki. What's considered supporting the roof of the first floor, which is the floor of the second floor, that's the responsibility of the guy who lives on the bottom floor, where he has to provide a floor which is his roof for the second story, because that's the basic, which is the tikru. Rabbi Yosi Sava no mazive ashvuya gumasu. He holds that no, the plaster that's put on to the second story's floor, which is the roof of the first floor, that is only for regarding smoothing out the pits. No one wants that their floor should have lumps and bumps. But regarding supporting the roof, meaning supporting the floor of the second story, that's enough just with the planks that the first guy puts down. That's enough of a support of the floor. If you want plaster, that's just to make it that it's smooth. And therefore Rabbi Yosi holds, if you want to do something that just makes it more convenient in the apartment that you're living where you don't have bumps, that's the responsibility of the tenant who lives on the second story, because a floor he has, he wants to make it more convenient, that's his responsibility. That's their disagreement in our Mishnah, that the landlord have to pay just for the tikkur or even for the maziv. Now the Gemara asks on Reb Chir bar Yosef. He said, in regarding to the case that we said where the layer of plaster of the second story where they're owned by two different people, the apartments, if that plaster is not there anymore, that he said that it's actually the responsibility of the guy who lives on the bottom floor to fix the maziva if it's dripping into his apartment. Now the Gemara explained, why does he hold that? Because it's like Rabbi Yosi over there in Baba Basra that says it's on the nizik. The victim, since it's he doesn't want to get damaged, so it's his responsibility to fix it. It's not the mazik's responsibility to fix it. On that, the Gemara asks, Ini, is that so? That we Rabbi Yosi's halacha would go so far? But V'omer Vashi, Vashi said that Ki Avina Be'er Rav Kahana, when we were in the house, the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, Havermina, we would say that Meidir Rabbi Yosi agrees, Begeri Delay. He agrees when it's the guy's arrows. In other words, that even though Rabbi Yosi's opinion was quoted in Baba Basra, that it's on the victim to distance himself, it's his responsibility not to get injured. That's only when the person, the damaging party, is not doing a direct damage. For example, like that Mishnah Baba Basra, which was with a tree and with a well. Meaning when this guy is planting the tree, he's not directly harming that person's well. It's just that what's going to happen over time, the roots are going to get bigger and spread out from their own. And then it's going to go ahead and harm that guy as well. On that, he says, okay, fine, you don't want something to happen. I'm not directly damaging you, the owner of the tree says. You don't want something to happen to your well, even though my tree came later. It's all a nizik l'harchik has asma. You have to move your well. I don't have to cut my tree. But on that, we said that Rabbi Yosi agrees when the person himself is creating a direct damage and, so to speak, shooting his arrows, like here, where he's directly pouring water on the guy on the first floor's head, that Rabbi Yosi would agree, that's not considered a grumma bin nizakan, an indirect causation where the guy's going to be exempt. Rather, he's considered a direct adam hamazik, a person that causes damage, where a person is always held responsible, whether he's sleeping or he's up or it's by mistake or on purpose, a person's always responsible for what he does. So when this guy's pouring the water, goes directly in the guy's head on the bottom, that is no excuse, even according to Rabbi Yosi, of saying, oh, well, you should move yourself. I should move myself, you're pouring right on my head. If Rabbi Yosi agrees, it's ala mazik l'harchik gesasme in that situation. So how could we base Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's halacha of saying that in this case, where he's going to be, that the victim has responsibility for pulling the plaster, when even Rabbi Yosi, who he's basing his halacha on, would agree that in such a situation, the mazik would have to take the responsibility, that the second story guy has to put on the plaster. So answers the Gemara, no, the paski mai, it's somewhere where the water stops, the hadanafli, and then it falls on his head. In other words, it's not that where the guy who lives on the second story would wash his head, which wash his hands, would go directly on the head of the victim on the first floor. Rather, it would go somewhere else, meaning since the plaster wasn't great, so when he would wash his hands, it would first drip down, and it wouldn't go directly down, it would come through the cracks, and then it would come somewhere else on top of the head of the guy on the bottom floor. That is considered like a grum. It's not a direct cause. That would be similar to the case of the roots of the tree, and therefore that would be the halacha of Rabbi Yosi. That would be ala nizik l'harchik esatzmoy, and that's why Rabbi Chiya bar Abba had said that the guy on the first floor has to pay for the plaster of the second floor so that he does not become a victim. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of this parak of habayis v'aliyah. When we have first story and the second story, shel shnayim, which is owned by two different people. Because this house, which has a second story, was owned by one person, by their father. And then when the father passed away, they split it. One son went to he took the second story, and then one son took the first story. So continues the Mishnah. Shenaflu, where if the house collapses, now we already had one spoken about this halacha on the previous stuff, which was talking about regarding, so how do they divide the rubble? Here it's talking about a different halacha. That, so it collapsed, and now let's say they cleared away the debris, it's a clear piece of ground. Now, Amar Bala Ali La Bala Bayis Livnai. So the son who lived on the second story tells to the son who had taken for his share the first story, he says, okay, go ahead and build the wall and your roof from the first floor, which is your piece of the house that's your responsibility to build. And then, me, the guy who I live on the second story, I'll build my wall from your ceiling upward to make and then make my roof on top of my head. Now, but the Mishnah tells us of who ain't the right to live in this. But the guy, the son who lived on the first story, doesn't want to build anymore. So says the Mishnah, Haribala Aliyah, Bainas Abayis. So what the guy, the second story son, does, he builds only the ground floor up until the roof of the first story, which is the ground floor of the second story. That's all he builds. Doesn't build the second story. And Bedar B'teiche, and he lives in the ground floor. Until the guy, the son who's actually supposed to live on the ground floor, pays him for his expenses. So you pay me now for what it cost me to make the ground floor. Then he leaves, and now he takes the money. Now he builds a second story, which is where he's supposed to live. That's what the Tanna Kamma holds. Hudaimer, he disagrees. He says if that's the case, it comes out that this guy who lives, who's the second story brother, when he goes back at a later point in time, and he gets paid back for the amount that he had spent on building the first floor, so it comes out that this that he had been leaving all this time in the bottom floor up until he got paid back, that means to say he was living retroactively now in his friend, meaning in his brother's apartment, because his brother ended up paying for it. So it turns out that it was always his apartment. Now, moreover, even if you're going to say that, okay, fine, he was living in his apartment, but his brother wasn't losing anything, because anyways he wasn't willing to build it, but still, says Rabbi Yehuda, tzorch lahalis leischar. He's going to have to compensate the brother for that value that he was living in it, because it really turns out that the second story brother was deriving some benefit from his apartment. Because if not for that ground floor, he wouldn't have had a place to live at that point in time. Because up until that time, he hadn't built yet a second story. Now, moreover, is as we'll see in the Gemara, because Rabbi Yehuda holds, that this is considered this guy's having benefit, the second story guy, where the first guy, the first floor guy, is not really losing out on anything because he wasn't even going to build it in the first place. So this that he's living there is not really making the guy from the ground floor lose up until when he pays for it. Okay, then he gets the apartment back. That's still the guy who's what's called Zenena Vizele Chaser, one guy benefits and the guy who he's benefiting from is not losing. Still, he's liable to pay him. And since he's going to have to pay him, if he doesn't pay him, it's what's called, it looks like ribis. Because here, the guy owes him the money from his apartment, so it's like a loan, and when he gives him back the money, not only had he been giving him back the money, but he even gave him more, which was the benefit of allowing him to live in his apartment, which looks like ribbis. So rather, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He doesn't say to do what the Tanna Kamma said. Rather, we have that the second story guy builds the ground floor, and he builds the second story, and he finishes up the whole house, and even Mekares Olayeno. He goes and he even makes the roof from the second story, and whatever's necessary for the apartment. Then, V'yeshu B'bayis. Then, obviously he's not going to live in the second story, because then the guy's going to live in the first one. He has no right. He paid for the whole house. So then he lives, the second story guy lives in the ground floor, where then it's already what's called Zeh Loinen V'zeh Loichasu, where that guy, the owner of the ground floor, is not losing because he wasn't going to build it anyway. And the guy from the second story not even having any benefit. Now, the reason why he's not having any benefit because he has a second story apartment that's ready for him. And the first guy is not losing because anyways he wouldn't have built it, so it's not fit for him. So then he goes and lives there. Until the ground floor guy pays him for his expenses, then he moves up to the second story. But you can't do what the Tanna Kamma said, which is you build the ground floor and you live there until he pays him, because then he's really having some benefit, because he hasn't yet built a second story, and he's having benefit from that guy's apartment, and then when he pays him back, it's almost like he's paying back what he owes him, plus the additional amount of benefit that he was living in his apartment, and that would be like ribbis. Now that the Gemara continues Amad Beis, and clarifies this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, in three different places, Rabbi Yehuda taught us this concept that it's forbidden for a person to benefit from someone else's money if it wasn't gifted to the recipient until it's with the awareness and the consent of the owner of the money, meaning in the chiddush of this, what Rabbi Yochanan is teaching in Rabbi Yehuda, is even though that based on the basic halacha, it would be permitted for the guy to benefit from it. What are these three places? One is like that we learned in our Mishnah, where, as Tosfos explains, even though essentially that it's really Zenena Bezele Chaser, where this guy's having benefit and the other party's not losing, and therefore there shouldn't be any problem with that, even so the Chacham were Misakin that he should be liable. Why? Because even though that guy's not losing anything, but you shouldn't be benefiting from someone else's money without his awareness, even though he's not losing anything. So that's one place Rabbi Yehuda taught us that, meaning not like the Tanna Kamma, who said, yeah, he's not losing anything. So although you're benefiting from, but that's nothing, that's no problem, and therefore you could live there until he pays you, and then you build the second story. Idach Mahi, so the Gemara says, and what's the second place that we find this concept of Rabbi Yehuda? So says Rabbi Yehuda, it's not like in the Mishnah of Sechta Baba Kamma. Mishnah says, Hanisin Tzemra Latzaba, if someone gives wool to a dyer who dyes a piece of wool for a person, now, Adam Shachar. He hired him and he paid him to dye it red, instead he dyed it black. Or Shachar Adam, he hired him to dye it black, instead he dyed it red. So Meir Aimer, he says, the dyer gives the value of the wool, he pays him the amount of the wool to the consumer. In other words, he gives him white wool like he had given him, because he already acquired it by deviating, what's called Kinyan Shinoi. The dyer changed what it was supposed to be, and therefore becomes liable in money, so he gets to keep what he had worked on, and he just compensates him the value of what the guy had originally given to him, because when he changed it, that moment, he already acquired it, so he gives him back white wool. Behuda, he disagrees. He says, if that's what you're going to hold the dyer responsible, it comes out on some level that he's getting some benefit, because that turns out that the consumer went through the effort, he went to the store, he went to the marketplace, he bought a certain type of wool, maybe good quality, and he comes, he brings it to the dyer. And now the dyer gets to utilize that because now he could keep the black, whatever he changed it to, he could keep it. And all he's doing is paying the consumer the value of it. So he's getting the benefit that he didn't have to go to the market and buy these things. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Meir. He says that he gives him back actually the wool that he dyed as it is, meaning as he changed it, but he has to give him back that wool because he cannot benefit from someone else's money, even though technically Rabbi Meir says he really was cutting it and he should be allowed to. But he has the lower hand. What does that mean? Im ashvach, if the increase of the value that the wool had increased now that it's dyed is yeser aloitza, is more than the expenses that went into making it into more valuable. In other words, the amount of expenses that the dyer put in with the dyes and the wood that he had to burn and the effort that he had made in doing this, where as a person would be paid, let's say, as a regular laborer, if the shvach, if the increase in the value is much more than the expenses, then nis lahayitzia. Then the consumer only pays him the expenses and not like how he normally would be paid, like a koblin, he gets paid for the job. Now it's worth that much more. He gets paid more just than a laborer who gets paid for his time. He has the lower hand and only gets paid like a laborer. Now, v'ma'itza yisrael ha'shvach, but if let's say the expenses of increasing the value is actually more of monetary value than actually the increase of the value of the wool, then nice and less ha'shvach, he only gets proportionally the amount of how much it was increased, and he doesn't get compensated for all his expenses. Again, because he gets the lower hand. So again, we see the same concept that although, like Ramirez said, that really he was kind of machine and should be allowed to hold on to that piece of wool that he dyed, but since you're not supposed to have hanaf from someone else's money, therefore he has to give it back to him, and only he gets compensated on the lower end. The idach mahi, says Rabbi Yochanan, what's the third place we find this concept by Rabbi Yehuda? The not, like we learn in the Mishnah Baba Basra. Mishnah says, Misha par miktas chayvai, regarding a borrower who paid up part of his debt. Now, v'hishlish es starai. Now, the lender goes and deposits the document into a third trusted party. Now, the reason why he's doing this is because the borrower was afraid that if the lender could still hold onto the document, he's going to go ahead and collect the whole debt because it says, I owe him $1,000. Now, he already paid up, let's say, $500. But when they didn't want to write a new document. So the problem is, if he's going to hold on to it, he'll still collect $1,000. So he made him put into a third party who he knows what's going on, that $500 was already paid, and $500 is still owed. Now, moreover, v'amar loy, the borrower tells to the third party, im ein ani noisenlach, if I don't give to you, or as Rashi's girsa to him, to the lender, the excess, the remaining amount that I owe him, mikan v'adzman plaini, from now until that amount, that date, ten leishtari, then I let you give back the document to him, which says the full amount that's owed, and he'll be able to collect the full amount as if I didn't pay a part of it. So says the Mishnah, Higi Zman V'Lei Nasan, let's say that date reaches and the guy, the borrower, did not pay up that remaining amount. So Rabbi Yisrael says, okay, so then he can give it back to the lender, and now he'll be able to collect the whole thing, because that was what was stipulated by the borrower. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yitin, Yehuda says, no, you cannot give it. Why not? Because again, it's still this concept that the lender cannot benefit from the borrower's money, where although he's not losing because that's what he stipulated, but again, you can't have benefit from someone else's stuff, even though he's not essentially really losing something, but since really he had paid, the lender cannot get it back, and the shlish, the third party, does not give it to the lender, even though the borrower had said he should do that. So there's three cases of it's forbidden for a person to benefit from someone else's money until the person really, really wanted to give it wholeheartedly. Now this the Gemara asked, am I? Why? Where does Rabbi Yechanan say from these three sources that we find Rabbi Huda saying this concept where even though halachically the person should be allowed to, but you're not supposed to have benefit from another person's money until he really is gifting it to the other person? That the Gemara asks, why? And the Gemara goes through all three proofs and shows how not necessarily the way Rabbi Yechanan is illustrating it. Dilma, maybe it's not the way Rabbi Yechanan is saying it. Maybe that actually regarding when you have what's called Zenen of a Zeloi Chaser, where one guy's benefiting and the other guy's not losing, actually Rabbi Yehuda did not say that's forbidden. Not the way we had interpreted in the Mishnah. Rather, what he says is forbidden is when one guy's benefiting and the guy who he's benefiting from is losing. And actually the case of the Mishnah is a case of Zenena, that the guy who lives in the second story who built the first story is benefiting and the ground floor guy is losing. How so? Because Ad Kan Lakom Rabbi Yehuda Hach, where did Rabbi Yehuda say his halacha here in our Mishnah that's problematic to only build the first floor like the Tanakhama had said and have the second guy live in the first floor until he gets compensated? Elam Shom De'ikah Shachrarisa. That's because the ground floor owner could tell the second story guy who's now living in his apartment, which ultimately he's going to pay him for, that what do you mean? You're blackening my walls because you rebuilt the house. Brand new, beautiful walls. And I'm going to have to pay you until, you know, I can't get rid of you until I pay you for what you had built. And now all along you're cooking and making smoke in my apartment up until I get rid of you 3 months into when I finally agree to pay you, and you're ruining the walls. So therefore, that's not just Zenen of a Zeloi Chaser, it's Zenen of a Zeloi Chaser. That's Rabbi Yehuda holds, that's not an option. That is different than what Rabbi Yechanan is saying, where no, it's the guy's not losing, but still you shouldn't benefit from another person's money. No, he's losing. That's why he said it's forbidden. Inami. And also regarding the second case that Rabbi Yechanan illustrated with, regarding the halacha of litzvah yilai adam mitzvah shachar, regarding when he had said he hired him to dye it red and he dyed it black. You want to know why over there that Rabbi Yehuda holds that he can't be kainit with shinui and that he should be allowed the dyer to hold on to the dyed wool, which is to his benefit? That's not because he's not allowed to benefit from another person's money, even though halachically it's like Remeir who says he's kainit with shinui. That's for a different reason. Mishum de komishana. The reason why the dyer has the lower hand is because he deviated from the contract. Because he was supposed to dye it red and instead he dyed it black. Because vatnan, and that's what we learned in the Mishnah, daf ayin vav med aleph, that said, kol ha-mishana, whoever is the party that deviates, that changes, yodei al tachtayne, he has the lower hand. And therefore it's a penalty that we penalize him. But actually in the case of zenen v'zeloi chaser, which is what Rabbi Yechanan is discussing, where one guy is benefiting and the guy he's benefiting from does not lose. For example, like we had in the Samach Dalam Abayis, where someone lives in someone else's courtyard, and the courtyard is not usually rented out. And this guy who's living over there, even if he normally would rent, so he's considered zenen, he's gaining, because now he doesn't have to pay rent somewhere else, but the landlord who he's living in, is squatting in that guy's apartment, is ein chaser. Actually, I could tell you, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that he wouldn't have to pay him the rent, because actually, you're not chayiv by Zenen of Zeloi Chaser. Here, why he can't benefit is because he was Mishana, and called Mishana, Yodal Tachtoina, so therefore he can't keep it, and he gets the lower of the Shlach, or the Haitzah. And so regarding the third case that Rabbi Yechanan illustrated, Umisha Par Mikzas Chayve Nami, that case also, regarding a guy who paid a part of his debt. So Rabbi Yehuda said that if he paid a part of debt, and he said, if I don't pay by the rest, then you could cancel as if what I had paid, and the guy could collect all the debt now. That's not because the guy really doesn't mean wholeheartedly, and therefore you can't be nenda from someone else's money, even though you have the rights to. That's for a different halachic reason. That's because hava asmachta. That is what's called a reliance. In other words, the guarantee that the bar had said, why did he say this? Why, he doesn't care about the $500 that he paid? It's just because he's so confident that he knows he's going to pay by that date, but circumstances turned out that he wasn't able to. There, that v'shamin l'Rabbi Yehuda d'amar loikani. There we have on record, Rabbi Yehuda says elsewhere regarding the halacha b'smachta, although he guaranteed, but to allow the lender to collect the whole thing, that was an asmachta. And the asmachta, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not a kinyan. It does not create a kinyan acquisition. That's why he held that the shlish cannot give it back to the malva, to the creditor, but that's because based on the halacha b'smachta. But not because, like Rabbi Yehuda wants to create this new sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that you not have enough from someone else's money, even though that min adin, it would seem to be permitted for the guy to benefit it. That's not true. And that is, says the Gemara, we could really say Rabbi Yehuda holds that zen nene v'zele chaser is actually permitted for a guy to have anah. But all these different cases are based on different halachic principles why Rabbi Yehuda would hold that the guy cannot benefit. Now the Gemara goes back to the basic principle of the Mishnah. The basic principle of the Mishnah was when you have two people owning the building, one on the first floor, one on the second floor. So the ground floor has a responsibility to rebuild his so that the upper story could build his. And we had a machlekes Tanakam and Yehuda exactly regarding what's the ramification of the ground floor doesn't. So what does the second story guy do? But that's the way it's supposed to be, that the ground floor rebuilds his part and then the second story guy rebuilds his part. And that says the Gemara, Amr of Achabar Adam Shmei De'ula. Let's say Tachton Habolashanis. Let's say the guy who lives on the bottom, on the ground floor, now that he's coming to rebuild his part of the building from his wall, he wants to change from the foundation up until his roof from how it originally was. So if he's changing Bigvil Shemelai, in other words, if let's say originally before the house collapsed, it was made out of what's called Avne Gazis, which are hewn stone. And he's coming to change it after it fell and not to rebuild it with Avne Gvil, which were not hewn. So then says the Gemara, we listen to him. Why? Because he's actually fortifying the building even stronger. Because the wall made out of Gvil is wider from that which is made out of Gazis by a tefach. As the Gemara says in the first parak in the beginning of Baba Basra of Beis, that by Gvil, the way that you shared is this guy gives 3 tvachim, this guy gives 3 tvachim, for a sum total of 6 tvachim. By gazes, each partner gives 2.5, and this guy gives 2.5, for a sum total of 5. Now, the Gemara over there explains that gvil are stones which were not hewed, they weren't smoothed out. Now, that therefore, since they're real rocks, they stick out more than when they're cut exactly by a tefach. So since it's making the bricks wider and stronger for the building, so therefore we listen to this lower guy who's changing it for the better for the upper guy. Now, Gazis ain't Shemelai, but if he's changing it from Gvil to Gazis, where there used to be a wider wall, stronger bricks, and now he's making it Yun, which are narrower by a Tefach, then we don't listen to him because now he's making the building weaker, which is not good for the upper story. So too, Bechfis and Shemelai. If let's say he wants to change it to what's called arche, which are half of bricks, which they're with our tefach and a half. So the way you would do it if you're making a building out of half of bricks is that you would take one half a brick on one side, another half a brick on the other side, and you'd put a tefach of small pebbles and lime in between them to make them into one unit. That would make the thickness of the wall into 4 tefachim. So therefore, if you're taking it from levanim, which are full bricks, to kvisim, to half a bricks, which end up being a width of 4 tefachim, then we listen to him. But levanim ain't shemelai. But if he wants to change it from what was originally the half of bricks into the whole bricks, then we don't listen to him because then the thickness of the wall is only going to be the thickness of the width of the bricks, which are 3 tefachim. So again, the main concept that Ul is teaching over here is that the lower story, if he wants to widen the thickness of the building and thus fortifying it, then we listen to him. But if when he's rebuilding it, he's diminishing the support and the strength of the foundation, then we don't listen to him because the upper story could claim that tomorrow the building is going to collapse. Now, the same thing is in the reverse, as we'll see shortly, that the upper story, when he's rebuilding his part, if he's going to come to put things that are heavier, which are actually better for the bottom but worse for the top, when they're wider, when the wall is thicker, it's going to make the weight heavier. So then the one on the bottom story could stop him because as long as the lighter it is, then he listens to him. But if you're making it heavier, that's going to be weighing down too much on the bottom story. But first continues Ula, says, let's say Lesachich Ba'arazim Shemelai. If let's say he wants to change from sycamore, from shikmim to cedar, the guy in the bottom story, meaning when he's making his roof, which is the floor of the second story, he wants to make it out of cedar. Now, cedar is much stronger than sycamore, and it's heavier, it's stronger. So then we listen to him because now what he's doing is he's actually benefiting the guy in the second story because he's making it stronger. If the guy's going to be stepping on his floor, which is the first guy's ceiling, that's making it better. But b'shikmim ain't shemelai. But if he wants to change from what was originally cedar into sycamore, then we don't listen to the guy in the bottom floor because he's making it easier now for the floor of the second story to crack, to break when he's stepping on it. Continues Ula, let's say lamait b'chaloinis shemelai. If the guy on this first floor, when he's rebuilding his first floor, wants to make less windows than originally was, then we listen to him because less windows, the more stronger the walls are. But if he wants to add more windows now that he's redoing the house, it's so much nicer with windows, the second story could stop him because he's diminishing the strength of the building because now there's more gaps in the wall for the windows, and therefore the upper story could stop him from changing. Let's say lahagbiya. Let's say the first floor wants to increase the height of the airspace of his floor. Then ain't shame alay. Then we don't listen to him because A, first of all, he's causing the guy in the second story to have to go higher, walk higher now to his second story apartment. And moreover, a lower apartment is stronger than a taller one because it's not as supportive. Now, lamay shame alay, if he wants to diminish the first story, he used to have 12-foot ceilings. Now he only wants to have 10-foot ceilings. Then we listen to him because, again, it makes it easier for the second story and it actually makes it stronger, better for the second story guy. Now, the reverse. Alien Shabalashanis. If the second story guy, when he's rebuilding his second story, when he's coming to change, and again, all the reasons over here when we would listen to him is because he's making the load of the building that he's making lighter, whereas if he's making it heavier, which is better when the bottom floor, but for the second story, when he does it, the bottom guy could stop him because the bottom guy doesn't care if the wall of the second story guy's story falls down. What he does care about, however it's heavy and it's going to weigh down his, so you could stop him. You could do what it originally was, but you can't make it heavier. So here it's the reverse. But gazes, shaymanlo, if he wants to change it to gazes, which are thinner bricks, then you listen to him, because it's not going to be as heavy on the bottom. But gvil, ain't shaymanlo, if you want to do the thicker bricks for the top, he could say, I don't want, because it's going to collapse on top of me. But kfis and ain't shaymanlo, if he wants to switch to the half a brick, which is a tefach wider, you don't listen to him. But levenim shaymanlo, but by the regular full whole bricks, which are thinner, then you listen to him. Barazim ain't shemalai. If the second story guy wants to do cedar, which is the stronger, you don't listen to him. Bishikam shemalai. If it's sycamore, which is lighter, which is not as good for the upper one, but he's willing to do that, then we listen to him because actually that's better for the lower story. Larabis bachalon the shemalai. If the second story guy wants to add more windows now, we listen to him because actually that's less weight on the first story. Lamait bachalon is ain't shemalai. But if he wants to do less windows, which means more bricks, which is heavier, then we don't listen to him. The guy in the first floor could stop him. Lagbia, ain't shemalai. If he wants to make his story higher, we don't listen to him. Lamayit shemalai. If he wants to diminish his height, then we listen to him again because that's less weight, less wall part for the guy in the first floor. Continues the Gemara. Ain loy lazeh v'loy lazeh. Let's say, related to the halacha of our Mishnah, which was the halacha that they each have to rebuild their part. Now, if the ground floor guy doesn't want to rebuild, that was the topic of our Mishnah. So the second floor guy, he rebuilds it. Question is how, according to the coming of Yehuda. But let's say they both don't have enough money to rebuild the building. They're poor people. They inherited the building and now it collapsed. Now, the owner of the land wants to sell the land. Mike, what's the halacha? Do we say that the guy in the second story has rights in the land or not? I mean, the guy in the ground floor, that part of his apartment is the ground. What about the guy in the second story? Does he have any rights? So in parentheses, the Gemara brings, which are different gersoy, is tanya lit in the brisa, that this brisa holds, ain loy lezev loy lezev. Let's say neither one has enough money to rebuild the house, so it's not being rebuilt, so what do you do with the land? Ain loy lebal aliyah bekarka klum. So the second story guy has no rights in the ground floor. This is his part of the ground floor of his apartment, is the ground, he has the ground. The guy has his floor, which is not here anymore, so he has no rights in the ground itself. But tanya lit in the brisa that says not like this. Reb Nosson Naimer, he says, the ground floor person takes 2/3 of the ground, but Elyon Shlish and the upper story guy, the second story guy, gets 1/3 of the ground. Others say, no, the guy on the ground floor takes 3/4, but Elyon Neutel Rabbi and the upper story guy takes 1/4. Now, Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, you should take and hold of the opinion of Reb Nosson in your hand. Meaning that should be the halacha. The dainahu, because he's a judge, as the Gemara says in Perek Masechtas Harius and Daf Yud Gimel Beis, that he was the avbez and the head of the court. But nachas la'umka the din, and therefore he's able to pierce to the depth of the law. Meaning, because kasavr, what did Reb Nosson hold? Why does the guy on the second floor get 1/3? Because kama mafsid aliyah b'bayis. How much does the second story impact the stability of an apartment on the ground floor of the house? Meaning, the length of the durability of the house, it lessens because you have a second story, which weighs down on it. Now, that when that's sold to the guy in the second story, he owns the second story apartment. That means to say, that's the share of the rights he has in the house, and hence in the ground too, because he's impacting the ground floor person. how much does it lend, it shorten the length of the stability of a house? By tilsa, by a third. Let's say a house should last 100 years. If you're gonna, if it's gonna be, let's say it should last something, you take a third of that, it should last 9 years. It's gonna be now lasting only 6 years because it takes away a third. So that's what Rav Nosson said, that he gets a third because that's how much he has in the house because of the second story, and therefore he gets a third in the ground. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on a related discussion like we were talking about regarding two partners. We were talking on the previous Mishnah, Habayis Valiyah, a house in the second story, where again that they have responsibility one to the other, and that's their relationship. So the Mishnah says a related type of a case. V'chein beis habad. Same thing is regarding if someone has an olive press, shubanu besela, which is built into the rock. For example, like a dome type of entryway into the bedrock of the mountain. Now, begina achas al gabav, and then there's actually a garden on top of that olive press, where the olive press is beneath it. Now, that would be normally where someone owns that mountain, and when he dies, but his children went and split it, one guy took the olive press, and the other guy took the garden. Now, says the Mishnah benifchas, similar as we had in the previous Mishnah, which this Mishnah is continuing on that theme. Now, the roof of the olive press caved in, which that is the floor, so to speak, that's the base of the garden, of the upper garden. So as we said by the ground floor and the upper floor, that the guy who lives on the second floor can then move in to the ground floor, says the Mishnah the same thing over here. So now the guy who owns the garden could come and plant down on the bottom, meaning where the guy's olive press is, achayasla base bad to keep it until he makes for his olive press a dome, meaning that he makes a roof, which now then the guy who had the upper garden could then plant in the earth and plant his garden over there. But up until he fixes his roof, he has nowhere to plant, so he could come down and plant in the guy's olive press, just like we had when you have a masker in the seicher, where he rented him the second story and then it caves in, so he could just come down and live in the first floor. Now, a related discussion regarding things falling down, Mishnah says, HaKaisel va'ilan shenafel reshus haram bezikur, regarding a wall or a tree that fell into the public domain and caused damage. Says the Mishnah, Patim Elashalom. So the owner of the wall of the tree is exempt from paying for the damages, because what should he have done? It's what's called an einus. It's beyond his control. It's just the wall collapse. It's not something that he was at fault, and therefore he's going to be exempt. But, says the Mishnah, Nusmulizman Lokit says Elon Melistas Akais. Let's say the courts saw that this was dangerous, how this tree was leaning over, or this wall was leaning over. And they said, hey, you gotta take this wall down, you gotta cut down this tree. So, says the Mishnah, then it depends. If they gave him a certain amount of time and it fell down within that amount of time, then these potis exempt because they gave him a certain amount of time and it fell before that. But if it fell after that time and he still had not cut down the tree or the wall, and then it falls in, then Chayiv is going to be liable. Continues the Mishnah. Another related halacha. If someone had his wall near his friend's garden, and his wall fell and collapsed into his friend's garden. So the guy, the owner of the garden, said, hey, clear away your stones over here that fell into my yard. And the owner of the wall tells him, as we continue to talk about kofir, it's yours, you could keep it, you could clear it away and keep it for yourself. Says the Mishnah, we don't listen to what the owner of the wall is saying. In other words, if the owner of the garden doesn't want, we don't say that he automatically acquires something that's a gift or that's ownerless, because although his chatzar is kind of him, his garden is kind of him, only if he wants it. Since he doesn't want it, it says, I don't want it. Go ahead and clear your bricks away. Now, but says the Mishnah, Mishikibala love, but if the owner of the garden accepted it, he says, okay, look, this guy had his bricks fall down, doesn't want it anymore, he told me I could clear it away, fine, I'll take it, I'll find someone to use it for. Now then afterwards, Amalai, then the owner of the wall had a change of heart, and he tells him, no, Helich Esi Yitzir, I know you did the job of clearing it away. Here's the expenses to pay for the guys who cleared away my wall. Vani Etel Eshlein, I want to take the bricks of my wall, I'll pay you for the expenses. That says the Mishnah, Ein Shemelah, then we don't listen to him anymore because this guy really was a kainit based on what he had told him, and it acquired it for him as chatzar. It's too late, he can't back out anymore. So too, the same thing. Someone hires a worker to work for him in gathering straw and stubble, either from that guy's own straw or from hefker type of straw. And then the worker comes and says, okay, pay me for my work. And he tells him, take what you worked for and use it for your own pay. Meaning, whatever you gathered, take it. That'll be your pay. Says the Mishnah in Shemalai. We don't listen to him. Now, as Rashi points out, although generally we say that Shava Kesef is like Kesef, where he could pay him with either cash or with something worth money, so why can't he use the straw that he collected to pay him? It's because here we're talking about a worker. And by a worker, the Pasuk says in Vayikra Yates that there's a prohibition of Baltolin of Scharoi. You have to give him his pay, which sounds like that you have to give him exactly what you had stipulated, which was money. You can't give him something that's worth money. So we don't listen to him. But Mishakibul Allah, but if the worker said, you know what, I gathered straw, he says I could keep it for the pay. You know what, I'll find something to do with the straw. And he takes it. Then the owner says, no, Vamali tells him, no, Halach Scharcha, here's your pay that I owe you. And I want to take my straw. And that says the Mishnah ain't Shemalah. Then we don't list him because the worker already was zeichin it by his giving it the rights to him. And now although he's backing out, we don't list him and the worker could keep the straw.